Over a year and a half in the making, it's the Lars Podcast.
It is.
I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And this is a show where we talk about things that aren't lost while we wait for Lost to come back.
Oh, right before I hit the record button, I told Ben that the amount of time we have to wait before Lost starts is greater than the actual amount of Lost that there's going to be.
Yes. We're still in that wonderful zone.
And
that's just the way it is, man. You know, at this point, Lost is like a series of movies. Like, you know how you had to wait a whole year for the next Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, but we didn't do a podcast about Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's why we have the Lars. We can talk about the other movies we're seeing. And
we can.
The stuff that we're up to. What are you up to? How did you spend your week?
What was our last show? Oh, the Freeform show was last
Freeform
week.
Show
last we got a lot of flack. A lot of people, I don't think, liked it.
Well, you know, we're back.
It was fine, but
it was
I
fine.
Wanted reviews of Superbad. So here's our review for Superbad.
It was fucking awesome.
And you probably already saw it by now,
so
if you're even remotely interested.
Let's give it a scale. Super good or super bad?
Super awesome.
Super awesome. It was super awesome.
And you saw Rush Hour 3, and that
I saw Rush Hour 3.
Super bad.
You've probably seen it by now, or not, and I'm not going to change your mind.
You hated Stardust.
I did not like Stardust.
So,
you know, we kind of missed out on having my one negative review ever.
I know. But
so don't see Stardust, you know, unless you want to, because then go see it and give Neil Gaiman money, because he's a good guy, but I didn't like the movie. That's my review.
Like, Comic-Con and the weeks leading up to Comic-Con was like Neil Gaiman this and Neil Gaiman that.
Yeah.
You can't walk anywhere at Comic-Con without hearing people talk about Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him. It's Sandman.
No context, huh?
It's Sandman?
Yeah, he did. And actually, I gave Matt the first two Sandman books. So if you're into it, you can borrow those.
Nah.
Books, like graphic novels books, not real books.
Nah. Maybe the, what is the end of the world, the end of world and at end or something like that, at world's end.
Yeah.
Allred did some of the art for that, so maybe, but
but not the first two chapters.
Yeah, I don't
okay,
know.
That's fair.
I'm not into like gothic vampire whatever stories.
Yeah.
It's gothic, right?
In a way, it's kind of gothic, but not, I don't think it is as much as you think it is.
Oh.
I mean, it's Sandman. He's like a god, kind of.
I'm going to play Enter Sandman right now.
Yeah.
That's
how we'll start the show.
But no, nothing. I can't think of really what we've done since the last show.
Well, I went to the street fair.
You went to the Orange Street Fair in your new...
In my new town, yeah.
In your new town of Orange.
Which is another thing. I mean, between Comic-Con and moving and stuff, we've been really busy lately and busy and lazy. So that's why we did a Freeform last week, is to kind of ease ourselves back in.
Yeah, and you moved, and I think we pretty much explained that last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, Orange, for those of you unfamiliar, is a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it's a nice little town. It's got a lot of flavor to it.
Yeah. Root beer.
Yeah, root beer flavor.
I had a root beer float at Watson's once.
Oh, that's right.
And that's in Orange.
Watson's drugstore, which is
You live about a block away from a street called Tustin.
Yeah.
Which for about a mile on both sides of the street, you can get any fast food or any... Oh, let's not even say fast food.
Just
any
food
chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Known to man.
Seriously.
As far as West Coast goes... Like, yeah. You can't get Hardee's.
Right, right. Let's be fair.
But you can get
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. Yeah. Can you? You have to.
Carl's Jr. Green Burrito.
And it's just amazing. I'm sure that's going to be awesome for you guys.
Well, we've often talked about your street right here being the fast food miracle mile. Because
yeah, but it's nothing compared to yours. I think the only thing on my street that's not on yours is a local Orange County favorite, which is Alberto's.
Yes, I don't have an Alberto's, but I have an El Taco.
Yes.
Which pretty much
I don't have.
Makes up for it.
They're two different things.
Totally different.
But I see where you're, I mean, yeah, I don't have an El Taco, but I'm just thinking that your fast food miracle mile is more of a miracle than mine.
It's more miraculous.
Yeah. Because you have everything that I have, then more.
And then some. And then if you're willing to stretch it out even farther, there's just more and more stuff. It's awesome. There's a Chick-fil-A, which I still haven't gone to.
Yeah, I went to Chick-fil-A the first time a couple of weeks ago with Stevie. Like their breakfast menu looks way better than their normal menu.
Yeah, it does.
And they have these like biscuits, these small biscuits with little chickens on them or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I saw them, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, but
like, because they look like the Chicken Littles from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And you can't get those except for in the morning. Like,
it'd be like, their breakfast hours.
They're biscuits.
Just make them. Just make hand them out.
But I was pretty sad about that. I had an awesome strawberry shake there, though.
There you go. So it worked
like,
out.
It was like $3.
It's just it's a shake, right? That's ice cream and milk. They don't put bourbon in that.
Strawberries.
The $3
whipped
shake.
Cream on top with the cherry. But it was delicious. It was worth the $3. It was a damn
I'm
going
to go to
Chick-fil-A.
I'm resolved right now. I'm going to go, but I'm going to go in the morning, and I'm going to enjoy a biscuit. A chicken and a biscuit.
Go for it.
Yeah, instead of chicken in a biscuit, which
I got
is
like
a delicious cracker.
I got like the chicken strips.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it was good.
That's what they do. Yeah, so there was a street fair in Orange. There's like a plaza in the middle of the town that's a traffic circle, like a turnabout or a roundabout, whatever you call it locally. And
I'm sure they've shot movies there. It's that kind of a place, like brick buildings.
That thing you do was shot there.
Oh, there you go.
And they shut it down to drive through traffic and just set up this street fair where it's like international foods. You can go eat Greek food or Italian food and then drink a lot of beer and listen to music.
You asked me if I was going on Friday, and I was uncertain.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wanted to go. I'm not into beer. I know that's a big part of it. There's, like, beers from around the world or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the beer, but also I'm not into the heat we've had lately.
Oh, my God. It's been intense.
It's been anywhere from, like, 100 to 110.
Yeah.
In Southern
All
California
weekend.
And very muggy.
Yes.
And it was a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it was too much.
I can't do
that. It didn't even break that. Like, the sun went down, and it didn't get cold until, 10, 11, 12, if that.
Yeah.
So, it was a rough night.
It's like yesterday was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yesterday was intense. I mean, they do have a lot of international beers there, and that is a lot of fun if you have the wallet for it, which after moving, I do not.
Uh-huh.
So I just drank as many beers as I could at Mike's house before we left.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Uh-oh. That's
no,
not
I
true.
Heard that you guys drank.
Okay.
Jeff was telling me that you guys drank before.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the reason you, like, drink is to get drunk.
Right.
I assume.
Not to spend money.
Because beer, just to me, doesn't taste very good.
See, that's you. Like, you haven't developed a... You don't like it. You haven't developed a taste for it yet.
But if you're, like... If you had, like, one beer in front of you and one very delicious drink that you like,
uh-huh.
You only had one of each, you'd probably go for the one that's the delicious drink.
Yeah, if
that
I
you
only
like.
Had one, yeah, there's no point in having one beer. Well, there have been times where, like, I come home and I have a taste for it, and I just have, like, a one beer. But, yeah, for the most part, I'd go for the delicious drink. Yeah.
So, I mean, you might as well have cheap beer at the place and have it get you going before you actually go have to drop
exactly
all kinds of money on.
That's, I mean, that was my whole flaw. And not only cheap beer, but also like bad beer. Like I got drunk on Bud Light before we left.
Yeah. It's essentially tailgating.
Yeah. That's fully what it was. And then I still enjoyed the street fair. I still had a gyro.
Say gyro ironically.
I say gyro.
You,
ironically kind of.
You know how it's pronounced. Yeah. You just decide not to. To pronounce it the other way.
Scene missing.
Everybody knows The fabric of folly is falling apart at the seams. And I've been looking for a good time. But the pleasure.
This is the section called Movie Review.
Movie Review. Where we review a movie.
Yeah, I don't even think we're gonna need to have a rating system this week, because usually we give the rating after we've already talked about the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, usually you can kind of tell
if we're
where we're
like
going
it or not.
But this is going to be obvious.
I think we both like... Well, let's do heads or tails, because it's about a fistful of quarters.
Heads or tails is a 50-50 thing. It's
yes.
not a...
and,
well, head...
And neither one's good.
Yeah.
Well, neither one's better than the other.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. We both liked it. So
yes.
There you go. That's the rating system.
Not only did we like it, we liked it a lot.
Yeah. I'm
going to go as far as to say that if it wasn't for a certain anticipated movie this year, that it would be my favorite movie this year.
Really?
Well, I talked of Transformers so much, and I wanted Transformers to be so awesome.
And it was.
For so long. For 2 years, I waited for that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it delivered.
Yeah.
That... I feel like if I said this was my favorite movie this year, I would betray 2 years of Ralph's life.
But that's strong for a movie to come up out of the blue.
Let's say that Transformers is not a movie.
Okay.
Let's say that Transformers is an event. So this movie that we're going to talk about...
Say that this movie is a documentary, not a
movie.
No.
Because this is better than non-documentaries.
Okay, that's true.
This is my favorite movie.
Wow.
Of this year.
This is your favorite non-event movie.
This is my favorite movie of this year.
That's crazy.
It's not my favorite event of the year, but it's my favorite movie.
That's huge. That's really huge. I can't put it exactly there, but it was really good. And
what would you put there? What would you put there? Superbad?
Superbad.
Knocked Up?
For what I remember, Knocked Up was great. Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz. See, I'm... Okay.
Transformers was really good.
Did we even talk about Hot Fuzz in our show? No, because we're in the middle of Lost.
Yeah, there was no need to.
I like Hot Fuzz a lot,
yeah,
but I wasn't like completely blown my ass out of the seat like a lot of my friends.
I loved it. And Hot Rod was really good.
Hot Rod was good.
But I would say the movie we're talking about is
King of Kong. And Grindhouse was awesome.
King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. Okay, I had to get that out. I was getting a CD that we hadn't announced the movie yet.
We're building it up, though.
I know.
That's good.
Well, we built it up so much that I spooched.
Yeah. I'm still going strong.
You're still building it up?
I'm actually moving to a different position now.
Okay.
I've got plenty left in me.
We'll have to give Ralph more time. I'm just going to...
So, yes, my favorite movie of the year is King of Kong.
That's awesome. I would say it's definitely in my top five. And then I haven't organized them yet. It's not like last year with Brick where I was like, well, that would go straight to the top.
Yeah.
That just made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
This year I might have to organize them.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm talking about real documentaries.
Real documentaries?
What your favorite probably of all time real documentary now that I think about it is probably American Movie.
American Movie, yes.
And then probably Trekkies.
Trekkies is great.
Which I need to see all the way through.
Yeah.
And then...
Maybe I'll put that in my queue.
Then what else?
I'm not a huge documentary guy, you know?
That's what I was trying to get at. I'm trying to think of documentaries for myself and where I would put this in my entire lifetime of documentaries, my favorite documentaries. Blue Planet is up there for me, but that's not a film so much as a television series.
Like a TV series, yeah.
And I can't think of any films that are actual documentaries, like not mockumentaries, like I've seen Mighty Wind.
Right, Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. But actual documentaries that I've seen in the theaters.
I mean, I would love to say that I watch them all the time because that would make me sound really cool and give me a lot of cachet, but
I guess.
The truth of the matter is, you know, I've seen few and far between documentaries. Generally because they're kind of boring.
Yeah. If you look at the three documentaries that we just mentioned, they're all have a geek factor to them.
Oh, definitely.
So
yeah, definitely. Even American Movie, but you know, especially Trekkies and King of Kong.
Yeah.
But this one wasn't boring at all. It was tremendously entertaining. And the people told the story.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
You think of them as characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they're real people,
they're real people.
Think of them as characters. And I was trying to think of like movie examples of where these characters fit in. You definitely have the sympathetic hero.
Yes.
You definitely have the overconfident villain.
Yes.
Then what's more interesting is the villain's henchman.
Yes.
Which you have the... you have the one henchman that's totally devoted to the main villain,
right?
But is unable to perform, you know, like right. as high up as he wants to.
Yeah.
And then you have the other henchman who's starts to see the hero side of it.
Yeah.
And kind of goes to the other side. It's bizarre. It's
he becomes like, even more sympathetic because he's like, unlike the villain, that, that henchman, like, you feel like you could turn him around.
Yeah.
And like, oh God, it's
and
like,
you even have this empire.
Like Baron and Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Starts off as a villain, but you know, Flash kind of takes, you know, shows him what they could do together and he becomes on Flash's side.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I was even thinking like, I don't know. I can't think of anything now.
It's tough
I was thinking
to,
of Two
to
Towers
of.
And like Rohan.
Yeah.
And then, but there's like this, there's also this like empire. There's like this, like, I don't want to say evil, but there's this empire that doesn't allow the hero.
Right.
To prove his worth.
Because he's an outsider to them.
Yeah.
And they don't trust him because.
And it comes to the point where you have this hero that has to like become good and like rise above and like prove himself.
And he does because he's just a decent, honest guy. I mean, a lot of this, granted, okay, these are real people, so they may not be as broad strokes as they look in the uh-huh. documentary. I mean, editing can do a lot, but uh-huh. you can only edit what's already there.
Yeah.
You know?
And the funny thing about this documentary and all of these characters that are actually real people and all of these situations takes place around a Donkey Kong record, of all things.
A video game from 82 that no one in their right mind should still care about.
Yeah.
I mean, from an outsider perspective, I can feel totally comfortable saying that these people are all nerds for even caring about this shit.
Yeah.
But to them, and even to the hero who makes you understand why he would care, it is an accomplishment. It's something that not everyone can do.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a certain amount of skill, and it definitely, I mean, he had to sit there and play that game and get to that score. And he did it live in that one shot, like on one quarter.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. Like to see him do that. I mean, they tell you how difficult it is. And if you ever played Donkey Kong, fuck that game.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't
until this movie that I heard of what a kill screen is.
I had never heard of that either. And I had never seen the elevator screen on Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I barely even see the fire.
And there's these springs.
Yeah, I've never seen that. It was absurd. I was like, what, did you make that up? So, I mean, you could look at the subject matter as being, you know, weird and irrelevant. But when it comes down to it, it does take talent to get there. And whatever importance they choose to add to that talent, that's up to them. But what was fascinating to me is like this subculture that I had no idea existed.
Uh-huh.
You know, here's these people who, since 1982... have been for 25 years have been interested in the score of this video game.
Like who is the person with the highest score?
Yeah. Keeping track of it, trying it, analyzing the game, still doing it. I had no idea.
And it's one of these things where it's like, it's a documentary, but the characters are so far out there. They don't seem real.
No,
there's plenty of times where I thought these can't be real people, but I'm going to pimp Geekscape again, but his Jonathan's Comic-Con episode, which is titled The King of Con, is co-hosted by Steve Wiebe.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was standing right there when he was doing it because I'm in that very same episode.
Well, that's really
like
cool.
After him. And I went back and I watched it again and that episode, and it's just like, I'm like, this is just a guy. Like,
yeah, he's just
a person, and he had to deal with all these other people. Like he wanted to do was he went online, and I found this out on Jonathan's show. Apparently he had gotten to a kill screen when he was in college.
Really?
They had a Donkey Kong machine and they had a kill screen. He ended up on a screen where he just flat out died.
Yeah. Nothing touched him.
Yeah. And, when it came time for the movie, and if you see the movie, which I can't recommend enough, when his life was, you know, kind of crappy, he decided, you know what, I wonder if I can get a high score on Donkey Kong. Decided to look it up online. Oh, this is the high score to Donkey Kong. I think I could beat it. So he was just going in thinking, oh, I've done this before. I can do this again.
Yeah.
So he practiced and practiced and practiced. But what he didn't realize was now he's up against this 25-year
record,
you know, culture.
Yeah.
That is like, well, who the fuck's this guy coming in? And
they circled the wagons against him. And he tainted himself by dealing with this guy that they considered to be a villain and in their own right. Uh-huh. And so God, that was an amazing plot twist. I didn't expect that at all. I mean, plot twist, it was reality.
Yeah.
But this movie had a better plot than a lot of movies.
Even if you're not into Donkey Kong, even if you don't care about video game competitions or whatever, you have to at least, if you're, because it's like not a wide release.
No.
Like look for it to come in your town, but go online, look for the trailer, and see the types of characters that inhabit our world.
Yeah.
Like I was going to say this world, but it's our world.
Our world, yeah.
And it's absolutely amazing.
And it, you know, it was just really well put together, edited perfectly.
The storytelling was amazing.
Yeah. Steve Wiebe was a really sympathetic character. You know, he reminded me of Mike Nelson.
Yes, Michael J. Nelson. He reminded me, like, because they're making this into
a film.
A film, like a non-documentary.
A dramatization.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. Just a movie. It's going to be a movie with actors in the main roles. And the whole time I was thinking about that, I'm like, Steve Wiebe kind of looks like Nathan Fillion to me. There's something.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know.
No, I could totally see that.
I would hate for Nathan Fillion to be in the movie because I'd want the movie to be successful.
He doesn't have a kiss of death.
It's not his fault. I mean, I'm just saying.
He doesn't have a kiss of death. I hope. Nathan Fillion is to movies and TV shows what I am to Arthur's coffee shop.
So anyway.
Go see it.
If it's in your area,
if you live in a major
city, do yourself
city.
A favor. These are the kinds of movies that need to continue being made and totally support it. If it's in your area, you're not going to be disappointed.
It must have been low budget. It must have been independent dudes.
Yeah.
It must have been, right?
Yeah. There's a couple shots where you see some of the camera guys in the background and they have, you know, digital cameras. It's not, I don't think it was shot on film.
All the subtitles looked just like the subtitles in our Riverman movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah,
I can't. There's nothing else I could say about it.
No. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And it did remind me of American Movie, which I think I've already put American Movie in my queue. So.
King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. And look for it.
In a theater near me.
Yes. And hopefully you.
Hopefully you. So that's our review. We really liked it. Why don't we get out of here and get on to the next segment?
Yeah, I mean, and if King Kong isn't playing in your town, it'll definitely be available to stick in your queue, so do that.
We'll do that.
All right, and what do you say we get to our segment? Let's see.
Stick It in Your Queue, a section where we are the most awesome people to watch movies ever, and so we tell you what to watch, because apparently you can't figure it out for your damn self.
And you love everything that we suggest after you watch it.
That's right. All we get back from the section are positive reviews of how everyone loved Brick.
Your Brick? Brick, I'm glad I didn't suggest Brick. I would suggest Brick, but I'm glad that I'm not getting as much heat and love at the same time.
It's like torture,
right? Hot and cold.
Hot love is great, dude.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, some people love the Brick, some people not so much. And, you know, I can see where both of them are coming from.
Definitely. You either gush about it or you want to freaking murder or death kill it.
And you know what's funny is, like, as much as I really love that movie, I'm serious. I can totally see why people wouldn't like it, because it's super stylized and... And
it's different.
Yeah, it's different. And it's a risk. And for me, that risk paid off. And for everyone else, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel the same way about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Uh-huh.
Where I thought it was a really risky film, and it didn't pay off for me.
It totally paid off for me.
But it totally did for you.
Yeah.
But you can see that there were risks.
I think the only risk was Johnny Depp's portrayal as Willy Wonka.
That was the biggest risk, yeah.
But I still liked it. I liked it. I preferred his over Gene Wilder.
You know what's
because and I'm it's because not because like I mean you have 30 plus years of Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
It's really hard
it's hammered
to
in there, so
yeah, it's really hard to anyway.
Yeah.
I am just as familiar with the novelization of Willy Wonka as I am as the 1971 motion picture.
I saw a poster today online. As long as we're on the sidebar, I saw a poster online for Johnny Depp and Sweeney Todd.
Oh, really?
I'm fucking fired up. I mean, I've been fired up for it ever since it was announced.
Man. I have not missed a Tim Burton movie in the theaters since Batman.
So, will this be your first musical in the theaters? Did you see Chicago?
Fuck Chicago. No, I haven't seen Chicago.
I don't know.
The only musical that I've seen in the theater... I don't know.
Maybe nothing?
I don't know.
Maybe South Park? You could count South Park.
Oh, yeah, I could count South
That's
Park.
That's totally a musical.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Normally, you would avoid them. Let's just say.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of musicals.
But here we go. We're going to have to watch this one because of the Tim Burton factor.
Or I don't.
Or you don't. That's true. Don't. Well, I'm going to see the fuck out of it. And according to this,
we'll see how it goes.
According to this website, it's apparently a Christmas release. I was expecting it next year. So if it comes out
this
year,
it's coming out this year.
According to that website, but it was like one of those rumor sites. Like it's one of the sister sites to What Would Tyler Durden Do?
That. Oh yeah, the drunk is it? The
Film Drunk, yeah.
Film Drunk. That actually is more appealing to me that it's coming out sooner. Like that might. Like I wouldn't want to wait a whole year for a movie that I'm slightly, kind of interested in. Now that it's like here.
Yeah.
Like it's here.
Oh, I'll go see it.
All right.
We'll like the longer, the more time would give you longer to get cool on it.
We could totally review this movie before Lost comes back.
Yes. Totally.
So anyway, this is the section where we stick stuff in your queue.
Okay, I'm going to go first.
Go first, Ben Johnson.
The movie that I'm going to have you all stick in your queue this week is something that maybe a lot of you have seen.
King of Kong.
It's King of Kong. It's not like I'm picking out a very obscure film. This is definitely a mainstream hit, and a lot of people have seen it. But if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a while, I recommend you watch it because it is in my top five films of all time. It's got action, it's got comedy, it's got romance, and the romance
Big seller for you.
What's that?
A major seller for you.
What, romance?
Bruce Willis.
Oh, Bruce Willis. It's got Bruce Willis, who's a huge seller for me.
Is he your number one actor, favorite actor of all time?
I don't. Maybe. A quick top three would be him, Brad Pitt, and Johnny Depp.
Okay.
That's a quick top three. And it would be tough for me to determine. I'd probably have to look at the list, but we were playing who do we have the most movies of, and I'm pretty sure Bruce Willis is leading that one for me.
Yeah, I forget mine. It was like a tie between Christopher Walken and James Bond.
And James Bond.
No, it was Desmond Llewellyn.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because he's in 17 Bond films.
And he's your favorite actor, so that does the theory does work out.
I love all his movies that he stars in.
So, okay. It's got sci-fi action and good quotability, great rewatchability, and Luke Perry. The movie I'm talking about is The Fifth Element.
Which is a rare Chris Tucker non-Rush Hour appearance.
Yes. It's neither Rush Hour nor Friday. Yeah. And Chris Tucker's totally in it.
Yes, he is. As Ruby Rod.
As Ruby Rod, which is a great character. He's awesome in that movie. He's still a little Chris Tucker.
He's a lot Chris Tucker.
But he's like...
He's out of control in that movie.
He's a Chris Tucker that doesn't turn off.
Yeah.
Like sometimes in Rush Hour, he turns off and throws a punch every now and then.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman is in it.
He is.
He's awesome. Ian Holm.
You already said Luke Perry.
Mila Jovovich.
Mm-hmm. Her boobies are in it. Naked
her boobies are in it, naked.
And it's PG-13, so...
So, well, you got that going for you. Tricky, right?
Tricky is in it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
Colbin
it.
Colbin Dallas.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Who else? There's got to be more, but I feel like I'm running out. Brian James, that's his name, right?
Brian James is in it.
Yes.
He's in a lot of movies.
Yes, he is.
Including Cabin Boy.
Which we'll get to sooner or later.
Yes, probably sooner than later.
So, I mean, granted, like I said, you probably saw it. If you haven't seen it, it's great sci-fi action flick.
Yeah, definitely. And the special effects in the movie, especially the New York stuff, is absolutely incredible.
A great art direction.
Yeah. You can probably pick that up on Blu-ray even.
Yeah. The plot is, you know, really well put together, I think.
Yeah, it's
some unexpected twists.
Yeah, I can't think of the plot right now.
Well, trust me, it's good.
It's the guy, the protectors of the stones, and then Bruce Willis is a cab driver.
Yeah, so he's like wrong place, wrong time. But he's like a cab driver the same way Steven Seagal is ever a cook.
Yeah, but at least Steven Seagal never uses his cooking skills
That's
to fight
true.
Off Under Siege. I mean, I recommend it too. When I saw that movie in the theater, I thought it was great. It's a sci-fi movie.
It was a rare double viewing for me. Like, I don't often go and see a movie again in the theaters.
Oh, really? You saw it in the theaters more than once?
Which is a sign of either a good movie or bad timing on my part, where I just end up seeing a movie twice.
Like, how many times did you see Jane SBSB?
Jane SBSB, I saw 5 times.
Damn.
You saw it five times too.
I saw 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw it months before you got to see it. There's like a couple other times when we decided to go.
Yeah, I only saw Pulp Fiction 4 times.
Really?
Yeah. Don't let that make you think that I like Jane SBSB more than I like Pulp Fiction, because that's not the case. Just worked out that way.
Yeah.
Maybe I was trying to impress you.
It was just a lot of fun. We just decided. I don't know what the fuck our problem
was. It was a lot of larfs. And then we were seeing it with new people. Like, that's always a factor. It's like, well, I haven't seen it with Dylan yet. Let's go see Jane Silent Bob again.
Yeah.
So put the Fifth Element in your queue if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, you know, give me a call or an
if
email.
If you hate it or love it.
Yeah, let me know if you hated it or loved it.
I don't know if I've been safe with my movies. I haven't really heard too much feedback on any of my movies, really. Because you said Wet Hot, right?
I did say Wet Hot.
And I know Mike Campbell gave you shit for that.
Yes.
Like, I think I've been in the clear. I think my movies are maybe uninteresting enough to where people don't have an opinion because they don't seek it out.
They're just like, let's not see it.
But I think I did get some top secret love. This week is the complete opposite of your movie.
Okay.
And I picked my movie right before we started recording. And let's see if Ben can guess the movie. Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, so is that it? All I get so far?
That's the first one. Do you have a guest right now?
Armageddon.
No, that's a good movie,
That's a good movie. I know you like that one.
Let's see here. Let's go with Gary Cole.
Gary Cole and Billy Bob Thornton. I got nothing still.
All right. William Paxton.
Mr. William Paxton. And Gary Cole and Billy Bob Thornton.
You get one. I'm going to give you one more actor.
Oh, God. Okay.
Bridget Fonda.
Is it a Simple Plan?
It is a Simple Plan.
I got it.
I knew Bridget Fonda would be the one. A Simple Plan is a movie that was made in... Hold on. I don't have my... 1998.
Wow. Your movie came out after mine.
Yeah.
I totally wouldn't have expected that.
1998, it's the story of two brothers.
Yes.
One who's not so bright, one who is very bright, and the not bright brother's friend. They're out in the woods, and they stumble across a crashed airplane. And inside the airplane, they find $3 million, I believe. They find a huge sack of money. And this is a drama by Sam Raimi, director of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
And also Darkman.
Yes. Darkman.
And Spider-Man 2. Sam Raimi directed as a drama, and it's essentially about these three characters deteriorating.
Yeah.
It's called A Simple Plan, which is a title that is, I don't know how I would describe that title, not ironic.
No.
It's...
Well... Kind of ironic.
They have a simple plan, but things snowball and it turns into a gigantic clusterfuck.
And every time something gets fucked, they come up with like another simple plan to try to deal with it, but it gets even more fucked. And like these people, it's this, you introduce this random element of this cash into these people's lives, and they were getting along just fine.
Yeah.
But now it's like every man for himself, and it just gets, it's really dark. It's really dark.
It's really dark. It goes from, if you've seen the movie Fargo by the Coen brothers, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, because
something that should have been like something flawless or something really easy that so much shit goes down in the wrong direction that.
Yeah. And it's sad. It's sad in a way because these people, I mean, it just shows how like human nature, like this temptation for anything can sometimes be enough to just. turn anyone on each other.
And it's not, it's one of those things. The funny thing is where they've actually like, there's, it's like this, not, it's like a weird temptation. It's there. They already have decided to divide it into the thirds.
Yes.
They've already decided to do that.
Yeah.
And they each like are very happy with like their 1 million plus each.
Yeah. No one's getting
like,
greedy.
That's not a problem. But like just the way things go down, just having that in their life, it's, there's like things that you don't expect to happen once that much cash is introduced to your like life. It's weird. Yeah. It's not like three guys fighting over all the money.
Right.
They all get their money, but
yeah. And it's, they don't turn on each other for that. It's just that,
yeah,
it, what's great about it is the way it explores the idea of what if this were to happen and how would real people react to it? And, you know, there's a total random factor. Like, you never know how you're going to react to something like that. Like, it could even be, it doesn't even have to be blood money. It could be winning the lottery.
Yeah.
And you could turn into a total asshole, or you could decide, you could find out, like, I could find out that I win the lottery and I get, like, $20 million and I still keep a job because apparently I don't want to be a bum and lay around all day.
Uh-huh.
Like, you never know until you're in it.
And you never know who what friends are going to show up,
right,
demanding what.
Knocking on the door. So it's great because it's got that dark psychological aspect, and it's also intelligent because it explores possibilities, yeah, in a way that you might not have thought it through before.
Yeah.
And it's great to watch something like that unfold.
And it's Sam Raimi, and he pretty much calls back to his Evil Dead suspense. Like, it's pretty, it gets pretty suspenseful.
Yeah, like in a 70s kind of way.
And there's, it's a score by Danny Elfman, which is one of my favorites.
Another selling point for you.
Definitely. Back when they were collaborating, those two.
Yeah.
And wow. It's definitely a good movie. I highly recommend A Simple Plan.
Do we want to try our IMDb game to try to link my movie to your movie?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. It's been so long since we did a key segment. It's my turn this time.
It is your turn. But
okay. So your movie was...
You're kind of on the spot, so...
Your movie is The Fifth Element. No, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
We're already at 42 minutes, but I'm... You know, this is going to be free form slash format.
Free format.
It's going to be free... There you go. Okay. So yours was Fifth Element. Are we going from Fifth Element to...
To A Simple Plan.
To Simple Plan?
Yeah.
Okay. Fifth Element. Let's go. Let's go the easy route. Let's go Bruce Willis.
There you go.
Was in both movies. Now, Bruce Willis. No.
I've already given you.
No, okay. I'm going to go even easier.
Okay.
Mila Jovovich was in Fifth Element.
Right.
She was in Zoolander with Ben Stiller, who's in Dodgeball with Gary Cole, who was in Simple Plan.
Perfect.
All right.
There you go. There are less steps. But that one had the added element of having Dodgeball and Zoolander.
And not going with the main actors.
And not going,
like,
with
not
the main
going Bill Paxton. And,
yeah, and using Gary Cole, who's huge. So, well done.
What was yours?
Mine was Armageddon.
Bruce Willis is in Armageddon. Oh, with Billy Bob Thornton. Because yeah. We even mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I never in a million years would have got that if you hadn't been giving me the actors piecemeal and made me say Armageddon.
That's funny. I like going crazy routes.
Yeah,
you know me, where it's like obvious we're playing the IMDb game. And,
yeah, but you still take like a lesser known actor or a different. I mean, that's more fun. Like, we also sometimes Ralph and I would play the IMDb game and say, okay, you have to get from this movie to this movie, but you have to go through this movie in the middle somehow. Or you have to go through this actor somehow.
I haven't done that in a while. But anyway. While. Speaking
okay.
of
so stick
movies
those
I
cues.
Hate. Want to get to the next segment?
Yes, let's do it.
Oh,
I've been aching to do this one for a while.
I have been too, but I don't even know if I'm prepared to give a convincing argument, but we'll see what happens. I don't have a clock on me, but let's get to the two-minute debate. And this week on the two-minute debate, we are going to debate the awesomeness, which is usually what we debate,
right,
of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show is good, clean, dirty fun. There's nothing wrong with it. It's what has become a cult classic because it starts off as an homage to the sort of films that I've really been a big fan of through Mystery Science Theater 3000 and even before then through the stuff that the old man showed me, with its deep love for the old 60s and 50s horror sci-fi films. And then it devolves into this weird phantasmagoria. It never takes itself too seriously. The music is awesome and banging. There's lingerie for all, which is, you know, fun. If you can relax your button-down hetero mindset for a while and just let your mind expand, you might enjoy it. And, yeah, there's also the whole culture of the live shows, which I've never been to, but I've always wanted to, because it seems like such a great way for people to get together and have fun and rip on a movie together and do classic callbacks. So, in closing, I say Rocky Horror Picture Show is awesome.
This pile of shit drives me up the wall. The Rocky Horror Picture Show just absolutely irritates me. One of the main reasons is because it's considered a cult classic, but I don't think it should be considered a cult classic if a major studio produces it and is setting out to make it a cult classic. I think that a true cult classic is something that gains its own legs and gets an actual cult following. People call it the definitive cult classic. I don't agree. I prefer, if it's going to be a cult classic, it's got to be a movie that isn't quite so mainstream. As you heard before, I'm not a fan of musicals, and I'm not a fan of a lot of the things that go on surrounding Rocky Horror Picture Show, including the performances in front of the screen. To all those people who perform in front of the screen during a midnight show of Rocky Horror Picture Show, I have one thing to say to you. Down in front. If you would like to voice your opinion on the two-minute debate, head over to dharmalars.net and check out the debate section where we will post a poll.
And you can vote for which side of the opinion you land on. And then at the next week when we do our show, we'll let you know who won, me or Ralph.
Yes.
Or me or Ralph or the thousands of you that voted. So.
And that's at dharmalars.net.
That's right.
I'm ready to take off.
Okay, well, let's give out some contact info and get the fuck out of here.
While you're at dharmalars.net, you can head over to shopsaminate.com and check out our t-shirts.
That's right. They come in women or men, and they're gorgeous and quite an eye-opener and a conversation starter. I've had so many people this past weekend stop me and talk to me about my shirt because they like Lost, and they know that it's a Lost-related shirt.
Awesome. And also, if you're missing Lost in your life, I know that we don't have a DVD release of Season 3 for another 2 months.
Jeez.
We are one of the few people that are giving you something that's Lost-related.
That's right. A shirt.
A shirt.
So
well, we're not
grab
giving
it, put
to
it
you,
on, but walking around, talk about it, let people know that you listen to the Lars, because you know what, listening to an internet podcast is kind of a hip, fun thing. So people might like to hear that.
Yeah.
Also, the Golden Ticket is apparently still unreleased.
So. Yeah, I don't know if the Golden Ticket's out there, if someone's gotten it yet. We definitely haven't heard from anybody regarding the Golden Ticket, so
find out.
Let us know if you have it.
And if you purchase a shirt and you would like to send us a picture of you in that shirt, please feel free to do so at dharmalars@gmail.com, because we love seeing pictures of people in our shirts, and we put them on our MySpace page.
Which is myspace.com/dharmalars.
And when you're looking at our MySpace page, if it gives you an idea to call us about the show, call us at 206-338-4261. That's 206-338-4261. Call us and tell us what's up.
And while you're saying what's up, buy a Darmlar shirt at shopsaminate.com.
Full circle.
Do we have any more things to be...
Send us emails. Call us. We love hearing from everyone. We love the feedback. We answer every email. Ralph does a lot of work on MySpace because I can't get to it at work.
You can also visit scottandsteve.blogspot.com, which has links to all of those pages,
and
including
more.
The new Scott and Steve forum.
Yeah. So check us out.
So check it out.
Is there any shout-outs or anything you want to do?
Yeah, I want to give shout-outs to our friendly podcasting friends.
Friend.
Who, quote, podcast,
yeah.
quote, end quote, not really.
Uh-huh.
Kim and Amy, I know you guys recorded an episode quite some time ago.
Yeah.
We look forward to hearing that.
That's right.
And we look forward to hearing from you. So for those of you folks who aren't familiar with Kim and Amy, check out the Lost Initiative. Also, if you're subscribed here, you'll also get Jimmy shows, apparently. Jimmy, where are you?
Yeah, God, Jimmy.
That guy keeps saying he's got stuff for us, but I don't see it. Jimmy,
Jimmy.
Come on.
Jimmy.
Come on, Jimmy. Jimmy, come on.
Jimmy, we need you.
Jimmy.
What's coming up? Is there any movies? Are we done?
I don't know.
For a while there, Superbad.
No, something's coming out September 7th. A little film that we're going to go see called Shoot 'Em Up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Clive Owen, the Baluch.
The Baluch.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti.
And the Baluch.
The Baluch.
And a whole lot of guns.
But for a while there, I really thought Superbad was the end of movies. Like, because throughout the summer, it was always the last one on my anticipated list.
Yeah, Shoot 'Em Up, and then there's like something. There's something actually after that.
Really?
And Darjeeling comes out like a couple weeks after that.
Well, God knows we're seeing that.
Yes, he does know that.
You know, shout out for Owen Wilson. You know, my thoughts go out to him at this time.
Yeah, he's listening.
He might be. No, I don't think he's listening, but just I would like to express that it made me sad that he's going through what he's going through.
Yeah.
Because he's been a favorite of ours since before anyone who knew who the fuck he was.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Except for, like, the people that made the movies with him in it.
Well, yeah, clearly. get better, Owen.
So on that highly hilarious note,
I know.
I don't even have a line today. I'm supposed to. I haven't done this format thing in so long.
Well, you better fucking think of something.
Okay.
Are you going to the shelf of good movies?
I'm going to the shelf that I have in mind. I'm going to do...
It's like Ralph's favorite shelf. He's got... I don't know if we talked about it on the show before, but he's got, like, a bookshelf that's... I think it carries maybe 180 DVDs, and he's got it double stacked.
Are you kidding me, dude? I have 600 plus DVDs. That thing holds
300.
Like, at least 300.
Yeah. So he's got a shelf that holds 300 DVDs. And he's got it double stacked. But in addition to that, he's also got in his room maybe two dozen DVDs. Now, those are the ones that he can put in at any time and watch all the way through, or just watch a piece of.
Yeah.
And those are the ones he's looking at right now for
inspiration, which I don't have any. Okay, you're not going to know what this is from.
Okay.
But it's from a movie that we've talked about today.
Okay. So. Well, all of us here at the Dharma Lars, I'd like to say thanks for coming along and listening, and we'll be back next week with another format, another debate, another movie review, maybe, probably not, depending on if we go this weekend. And, yeah, that's it. So this has been Lars de la Vista.
It was a pineapple. Stick it in your queue, suckas. You all, everybody, Lars Line. Have fun. See you next week. Lars de la Vista. It was a pineapple. Why am I still talking? We already signed out. Your mic's off. You already pulled it out of the thing. You're not in your car. Ben's out.
Bye.
I'm still talking.
This
isn't going to pick you up. All right. I'm probably gonna cut this and then put it on after you all, everybody.
Bye.
Did you hear that North review?
I didn't know.
It was on last week's.
All
right. Hook it
bye.
Up. See ya.
Unplug me.
Oh, here. That's why. Oh, Ben's out.
Bye.
All right. 53 minutes and counting.
Bye.
All right, Ben. I'm going to hit stop record now.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Brian from Ohio, calling via Baltimore. Just wanted to let you know I stuck Wet Hot American Summer in my queue. I watched it late tonight, sitting in this hotel room all by myself. What a stupid fucking movie that was. But man, I laughed my ass off. I don't know. I must be tired. See you guys.
Hey, Donald Lars. This is Ben from New Jersey. Just wanted to call and say you guys had a kick-ass show. I heard about you guys through Jane Jack. Love the Donald Lars. Love the Lars. You guys are hysterical. I'm just sitting here watching the Phillies play, and figured I'd give you guys a call. You guys are awesome. Rock on. Bye.
Hey, Dharma Lars, it's Brady, listener 24601, and trying to be brief this time since I listened to the Lars Line on their last podcast, and somebody said that guy from California that talks for 9 hours, and maybe it's me, maybe it's not, but I'll just try and be briefer this time. But I noticed you were talking about movies on this podcast a lot, even though you didn't do any stick it in your queue segment. It was a lot of movie talk. And, you know, something I've noticed since you both added me as friends on Netflix, and thank you for doing that. It's interesting, like, I think I'm about equal to both of you, because the strange thing is, well, the ratings that I have, like, on Ralph's page are just drastically different. Like, I give The Wrath of Khan, you know, maybe 4 or 5 stars. Can't remember exactly what I put. And then Ralph gives it like 1 or 2 stars. And so that's how, and that trend continues on, but for many things we have like 5 stars, like Arrested Development. I love that show. But then what's weird on Ben's page is he gives only 1 or 2 difference between the movies I like. Like, I give Batman Begins 5 stars because I love that movie, and he gave it like 4 stars. And so it's just the small differences between you two, and I thought it was interesting. Why am I still calling? I don't know. I gotta call people. Thanks for listening. No, wait, I'm listening. But you're listening to me right now. And but you're playing my message, hopefully, if you're hearing this. Unlike some other podcasts. Bye. Thanks.
Hey, Lars Line. This is Stephanie. I'm driving into work this morning. It's 551 Birmingham, Alabama. I just wanted to call and give my opinion of Brick. I hated it. I mean, I heard all these people talking about how great it was, how they, oh, they just loved how these people, how these teenagers talked, and it was just so cool, and their world and just created fictitious world. And I rented it. I couldn't watch it. Took it back. And I kept hearing about how great it was. So I went and rented it again, and I followed through. I watched the whole thing, just like the girl in Florida said she watched the whole thing, because I had to see how it ended. It was just, I couldn't buy into this fictitious world of these teenagers trying to act like adults. And like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, when he was at the school, there were no other students at the school, and I was wondering, where are all the other students? But, like, compared to Lady in the Water, nobody liked Lady in the Water. And they, I guess they couldn't buy into this world where this apartment complex was at. And I loved Lady in the Water. I thought that was just fabulous. And I could totally buy into this fictitious world. So I don't know what the difference is, why I could buy one and not the other. But, I got some suggestions. Ralph, put Seven Samurai in there, too. I can't believe you haven't seen Seven Samurai. It's like the very first action movie. You got to see it. It's epic. It's fabulous.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Finn? This is Dre calling out of L.A. Just checking in, you know what I'm saying? I was listening to your latest show here. Actually, I'm 1 show behind. But, you know what I'm saying? You guys were talking about the horse crazy hot rod. Well, I agree with the Bourne Ultimatum was good. I'm a big fan of the series. So, I mean, you know, you guys are right on with it. It kind of, with the end, yeah, it's like, could have went a lot of different ways, but I'm actually kind of happy the way that it went. At first I was like, what? And then I was like, okay, makes sense. Then I, you know, accompanied by my partner in crime, Carla, we went and seen, what the hell did we go see? Oh, God, I just, because she had to take a leak, and I was sitting there, and I said, hey, that is, oh, Superbad. Superbad was so fucking funny. I like that movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I knew it was going to be funny, but, yeah, it was great. You know what I'm saying? It was so great that I actually went back and purchased a ticket. So, yeah, that was good and everything. So I'm hearing you guys talking about Hot Rod. I actually forgot that damn movie was out. So I got to go back to the movie this week to go see that. You know, hopefully there's no spoiler in here that I'm listening to because I just paused in the middle of the call. But, you know, nevertheless, that's that. I'm going to check that out. Oh, shit. Halloween. Halloween. Okay, first of all, Rob Zombie knows what the fuck he's doing. You know what I'm saying? It makes you really see, yeah, this guy, yeah, you know, this Michael Myers kid. I can see why he's a little fucked up. You know what I'm saying? People talk shit. I mean, he put that, you know, Rob Zombie put that, that, you know, that type of style to his movies where he's just like, you know, everybody's talking mad shit. Motherfuckers barely, always at each other's throats and all that shit. It was a good damn movie. It was a fucking great movie. I liked it. It makes you actually, I have to say, it wasn't like thick like seeing Hostel or Saw, that type of shit. But, I mean, it wasn't scary because you knew what the hell. But at the same time, it was like, wow, that's kind of, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of sick. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I, like, you know, of course you probably wouldn't get scared or whatever, but he did the movie justice, you know. So that's it. That's all I got. I'm on my break. I'm on my shit off. Whatever. If I think of anything else, I'll call back. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. Later, guys.
Scene found.
You say gyro ironically. You, you know that, you know how it's pronounced. You just decide not to pronounce it the other way. I was thinking about nunchucks today because I was playing some Metroid 3, and I looked at my, where's my nunchuck? I'm like, people don't call it nunchuck enough. Yeah. Valentine's. Speaking of Nintendo's, you ever play that game, Euromite? The Rob the Robot? Speaking of tailgating, how about the Halos?
Yeah.
Kicking the ass. They had a two-game slump, and now they're back. Yeah. And beat the Yankees 2 of 3. Fuck the Yankees. And oh. while I was on the way home from someplace, and there was Angels traffic on the 57 freeway, and Steve the Skylord, who's on like 95.5, who was a contender on American Gladiators, by the way, was doing his Sky report on the freeway traffic and talking about the 57, and he says the 57's backed up. And it looks like apparently that the Yankees suck or something like that. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a pretty funny thing to say from an air traffic controller. But it's true. All you Yankees fans can suck it. Go Halos. I want to say 30. No, less than 30. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's really close. It's really close. Yeah, they're going to bring it. And I just want to give a special shout out saying that Wally Joyner is not a douche. That's just a special shout out. Yes. Yeah, it was warm, though. Man, what... What the hell? Like, your new house is surrounded by trees. Like, every window, you can't look out the window because of there's plants and trees. But somehow, I guess the hot sun got into the chlorophyll, and then the oxygen was heated and came straight into your house. Have you ever watched My 13? It's for those of you in the Los Angeles area, Channel 13, which is KOCE, KOCP, KCOP. Anyway, they do their news program, and it's very unconventional, and they set out to be very unconventional. Yeah, they're standing at like a table. Yeah, they're just, it's like a hot chick and a dude, and they just like stand there. And they have their papers spread out on this table, and they do their news. They do this guy, okay? They cut to this guy who's talking about these burglars in Bel Air, right? And they get caught on tape scaling this wall, like in broad daylight, right? So these guys are hopping this fence, and it's a gated house, and they have really good security there. And this guy's talking about these two people and how, look at these guys. They don't even have like, they don't even have what it takes. They don't even like try to mask their face or cover their faces. You know, it's like they're in plain view. And then they go ahead and put on their black gloves, burglar gloves. And this guy, it's like a news. This is a news. This guy's news report. And he goes on, like, then it cuts to, like, him outside the gate, you know, talking with his microphone live. For some reason, he's still over there. And he says, police in the Bel Air area want you to take a good look at these people. And if you have any knowledge of who these people are, just call this number. And then the dude proceeds to look down towards where the graphic is superimposed, as if to say, call this number right here. What kind of journalism is that? Burglar gloves. Oh, shit. The stakes have been raised. Not only are they black gloves, but they're burglar gloves. Oh, Jesus Christ. For those of you who live in Los Angeles, check out My 13. It's probably on YouTube. For those of you not in the United States or the Los Angeles area. These couple of bastards over here. It's like the was that the Bronx News? What was that? Yeah. Like, I appreciate My 13 being, like, breaking the mold because, like, Paul Moyer could just suck my ass. It's just like these people, like, it's just like the news is so, like, effed up and dumb and just, like, stupid, like, the way the newscasters handle themselves. That's. I'll look at a hot chick standing around in a skirt telling me the news, soften the blow. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Man, we've talked for 15 minutes. Always good to. We've been talking for 15 and a half minutes, but for you guys, it's probably 16 minutes. Because I put a intro with the song, so. All right.